Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Today's Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. The markets were down today with the Dow closing at 24,117, the NASDAQ at 74.45, and the S&P at 26.99. We're doing a retrospective Your Financial Planning or Your Financial Choices shows that we've had in the past. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So where do we look for shows from prior, podcast of prior shows? They are available on the website wdiy.org. And when you go to the website, there is a tab for local public affairs. And from there, you can see a drop down for your financial choices. And you can scroll through the program descriptions to see what might be of interest. Having done this radio show for just over 10 years now and about 9 years here at WDIY, it's amazing that I still have anything to discuss. But what happens is that we are constantly faced with laws changing, rules changing, life changes, such that a topic that you may have been interested in listening to 10 years ago, maybe not now, but also topics that you weren't interested in listening to 10 years ago, you might be now as we go through life's changes. We have growing families. Maybe there's topics that are relevant to people who are young and starting new jobs and don't have families. I call that kind of the testing stage. Then we move into the nesting stage. All of a sudden, we have people who are more interested in buying homes, setting up retirement accounts, having children, setting up 529s. And then as they go through life, the kids leave the nest. Then they are kind of accumulating cash, and they might be more interested in investing, and then retirement, and then, of course, estate planning as we go into our twilight years. So life changes, and with those changes, we're more interested in certain topics than others. So that's why it is always kind of interesting to talk about what's going on in folks' financial lives. It keeps it interesting. So I thought I would just talk about some shows that were some of my favorite topics or topics that might be of interest to a particular group of people that I think might be misunderstood. So I want to kind of highlight it to say, hey, here's a topic that might be of interest or becoming more of interest. So I'll go through those. So what are some of the topics that I thought I would highlight tonight are shows we're basically mostly, I guess, in the prior year. January 11th, 2017, I talked about the financial implications of being a beneficiary. So I'm going to highlight some items from that show. May 3rd, 2017, I had a show on estate planning and healthcare decisions with attorney Jim Ruggiero. And July 12th, and more recently, January 17th, 2018, I did shows on Roth IRAs. As Lori C. always comments, it's my favorite topic. I love Roth IRAs. Lots of good information there. And it's still amazing to me how many people don't really understand them. So those are good topics to listen to if you're thinking about a Roth IRA or want to know more about it, those shows of July 12, 2017, or more recently again, January 17, 2018, these podcasts are available on the website, wdiy.org, and also on yourfinancialchoices.com. August 2nd, 2017, I talked about financial terms, and that is a good one for people who, you know, maybe want to get more involved, educated, and know what financial terms mean. So I'll give some highlights from that. September 27, 2017, I talked about important milestones at certain ages. So there again, when we talk about when is a topic more interesting to someone, quite often it's when it's something that's going to impact them. And if you know that there are certain financial decisions that may be critical to you at certain ages, all of a sudden your ears perk up. So I'll give you some highlights on that. October 25th, 2017, I had four hot topics in domestic law with attorney Alan Tuller of Gross McGinley. And the reason I highlighted that because sometimes I think there's topics that might not be for the entire general listening audience, but might be very, very important to people who are going through special circumstances such as divorce and or custody issues. November 29th, 2017, managing debt and your options. I'll just give you some highlights from that. March 14th, 2018, health savings accounts. The reason I highlighted that one is that was the first time I think I had done a whole show on health savings accounts and some other health benefits that were available. But I am seeing more and more health savings accounts. So I thought it was important to kind of bring that back, give some highlights on that, especially as people understand open enrollment comes up in the fall. You want to have time to kind of assess all of your options. This is the time you might want to start looking at that, thinking about it. What are your options going to be? What do I have to research or reflect upon before I come to those decisions that are done typically during an open enrollment period, which is usually quite often in the fall for folks. So those are some of the topics that I've highlighted. But again, if folks are interested in seeing about, you know, some of the things that we talk about in general, they are listed on the website at wdiy.org under local public affairs and your financial choices. And you can click through, and there's usually about, I don't know, three or four topics shown on a page. And you can just keep clicking through until you see something that might be of interest to you. If you want to listen to it at your own leisure, on your own time, you can probably speed through it if there's pieces that don't apply. So we're going to take the rest of the show kind of highlighting some of these shows, taking the highlights of those shows. But if you have questions, one of the things I want to remind our listeners of is my favorite thing is to answer listeners' questions. So if you have any, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you are listening to Your Financial Choices. And tonight we are looking back at some shows that we've done in the past, and I'm just going to give you some of the highlights from them. But of course, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are live here tonight, so if you have questions, you can call in and ask your question live on air. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She's in the studio. She'll write it down, and she'll bring the question in to me, and I will do my best job to answer it. So let's start with the first topic I had mentioned, January 11th, 2017, financial implications of being a beneficiary. To me, that was a very interesting show because I get questions from time to time when people inherit. For example, they'll call and they'll say, well, how much inheritance tax do I have to pay? Do I have to pay inheritance tax? Or maybe they're a beneficiary and they don't know what to do with what they've inherited. Do they have to pay income tax on what they've inherited? So it's kind of twofold. Is it inheritance tax? Is there income tax? Sometimes people don't think either apply, which is generally not correct. It all depends on what you're inheriting. So that was very interesting because we talked about, are you a beneficiary? What kind of beneficiary? What are you inheriting? And what else do you need to know? So are you a beneficiary was important because sometimes people will think that perhaps they're going to inherit from their parents, and maybe the parents haven't included them. Maybe the parents are transferring their wealth to the grandchildren or to a favorite charity, maybe a new spouse. So sometimes you want to kind of know, are you a beneficiary? I tell folks, don't count on it. Don't put it as part of your planning. Don't spend your inheritance before you receive it because you never know if you are going to get it. But the same token, sometimes parents make the assumption that kids know, and maybe there needs to be some planning across multiple generations, and maybe it would be financially advantageous to do a little planning and be a little bit smarter about what you're doing. Maybe you are the beneficiary and you don't need it, and you'd rather your parent or grandparent pass the asset on to a sibling or to your child. So sometimes it's important to know or have those kinds of conversations. I did a show on that a couple of weeks ago. What kind of beneficiary? This might make a difference in whether something is subject to inheritance tax or not, because at least for Pennsylvania, it depends on the relationship to the decedent, the Pennsylvania resident decedent, how much inheritance tax might be paid. And then it also might depend on, even with that relationship, who's going to pay the inheritance tax? Are you going to be responsible for the inheritance tax on something that you inherited, or will their estate be responsible? There's different ways to inherit. You might inherit via a beneficiary designation. You might inherit via a transfer on death. You might inherit versus via asset titling, joint account. You might be a primary beneficiary, a contingent beneficiary, might be through a will, might be through a trust. So you want to know what kind of beneficiary. Shani, we have a call on line one. We have Sharma in Brinecksville. Sharma, can you hear me?
I can hear you very low. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. What? How can I help you?
Okay, I'm a permanent resident in U.S. and my kids are citizens. I have a small house and small wealth. So what will happen if I die? So do I have to create beneficiary for a specific all my assets, or will it go automatically to them? And they are minors right now.
Okay, your children are minors. I did not hear the first part of your question, so I apologize. So you were saying you have a family, and did you say... Can you repeat the beginning part of your question?
So I'm a permanent resident, and I don't have any other family, just my wife.
Okay. Okay, so you're a permanent resident here. You have assets in the United States, but you're not a citizen of the United States. But,
yes.
Okay.
And if I die, what will happen? Like, my kids are minor. Do I have to have any beneficiary created? or will it go to a state, or what will happen?
Yes, I would probably make sure you see an attorney who can help you navigate this. There may be a number of strategies that you could use or that you may be subject to. Typically, for a resident of the United States, if you're a permanent resident of the United States, you still would, let's say, be subject to federal estate taxes. But if your estate is small enough, it might not matter. So you want to talk to an attorney about that. But as a resident of Pennsylvania, you also could be subject to Pennsylvania inheritance taxes. If it all goes to a spouse, then there's zero inheritance tax. If it ends up going to your children, there would be a 4.5% inheritance tax. But the tax even isn't as big of a problem as making sure that the assets pass smoothly and effectively and efficiently. So that's why you want to go see an attorney. You can pass assets via asset titling, like beneficiary designations. So if it's joint with a spouse, it would pass to your spouse. If you have named beneficiaries for retirement accounts, like primary beneficiary, a spouse, contingent beneficiary, your children, you might have some of this managed already, but if your children are minors, they may not be able to take control of it, and then a guardian would have to be appointed if something were to happen to both you and your spouse if you're married. So, you know, it might cost a little money, Sharma, to go get some help, but you definitely should go have someone review your estate with you. And I just tell people to be really efficient in preparing for that appointment with the attorney. Be efficient in having an inventory of your assets, how they are titled, your beneficiary designations, primary and contingent. So you don't want anything to fall through the cracks. And you should go kind of take care of it. When you have children, it's really a responsibility to make sure. I always assume the worst is going to happen so that I have it covered and then I don't have to worry anymore, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
It's a good question, and we're seeing more and more folks who come here to work, and just as we have U.S. citizens who go abroad to work, the same thing kind of applies. If all of a sudden you have accounts in, you know, the foreign country where you're working, you want to make sure that you have thought about what that would mean if something were to happen to you. So you want to go through, you know, the proper channels and work with an attorney who's familiar with this information. All right. So thank you for calling, Sharma. I appreciate it. Folks, we are coming up on our second break, and I appreciate the questions. If you have them, you can talk live on air with me or off air. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And when we get back, we'll continue our discussion on the retrospect of your financial planning topics. And I will button up my last one, which is the financial implications of being a beneficiary, when we come back. Again, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. We're talking about topics from past shows. January 11th, 2017, I did a show on financial implications of being a beneficiary. Number of topics covered during that hour. One of them was also, what are you inheriting? And I thought that's good to know, because what are you inheriting might be very important as to whether or not you need it. There is something called the disclaimer. I probably talked about that on that show. Maybe it's something you don't want. You can disclaim it if you do it in a proper way within 9 months and you haven't taken, possession of whatever that asset might be. Maybe you're inheriting real estate. Maybe you're inheriting an IRA account. What are you inheriting? Because it's important for you to know what it is so that you take ownership of it properly, that you're able to take ownership of it properly. Maybe if it's real estate, you can't afford the ongoing maintenance of it. If it's an IRA, what happens if you take it outright? Well, you could have a huge taxable transaction, but if you know you're inheriting an IRA and you're working with a good advisor, they're going to tell you, you could set it up as a beneficiary IRA. Maybe it depends on your income tax situation. So you want to know, what are you inheriting it? Is it a Roth IRA? Is it a traditional IRA? Is it cash out of the bank? Is it stock? If you inherit stock or mutual funds that were maybe in mama's name alone, well, what is the cost basis? You get a step up in basis when someone passes away on that type of an account. You want to know what the tax implications might be if you sell something or you cash it in, whatever. All right. So what else do you need to know? Those topics are covered in that January 11th, 2017 show, Financial Implications of Being a Beneficiary. We had a couple calls come in. We have someone who's on line one, Farron from Allentown. Hi.
Hi there.
How can I help you?
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked upon it as this. People are excited who do investing when the market takes a dip, as it has been currently.
Uh-huh.
And chomping at the bit to jump back in for the rise again. Am I incorrect on that?
Well, I would say that people actually act emotionally, and quite often when the market goes down, people get panicked and get out, unlike what you're talking about, where the more risk takers probably see this as an opportunity to buy. So there is a group of people who look at it as an opportunity to buy, and there's a whole group of people that say, the sky is falling, I'm going to get out.
Right. Well, in the sense that the movers and the shakers are the ones getting ready to dive in, because they're going to make a big chunk when it flies back up again.
Well, it all depends on which way the market moves. That's why it's probably serves people well to have a disciplined investment strategy where they understand that there's going to be volatility in the market, because who's to say that this is the dip? Who's to say that this might not be the high? It kind of depends, and it's hard to say, which is why it's better to stick to a disciplined approach and know how you plan to invest.
Right. So if you can't afford the risk, don't risk.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Farron. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yep.
We had another caller, Jeff, who called from Nazareth, and he said his parents live in Nazareth. His kids live out of Pennsylvania. When the parents pass away, which state laws apply? For Pennsylvania inheritance tax purposes, if I am a resident of Pennsylvania and I pass away, there is a Pennsylvania inheritance tax return that I would file to report any assets that I controlled at my death. So if I pass away and I owned real estate in my name alone, if I owned a bank account in my name alone, if I owned a brokerage account in my name alone, if I owned a retirement account in my name alone, those would all be assets that I would report on my inheritance tax return, subject to inheritance tax. And how that inheritance tax gets assessed is based on the relationship of the beneficiaries of all those assets to me, the decedent. So if I pass away and I left a spouse and I give everything to my spouse, the inheritance tax is zero. if I pass away and I leave everything to my children, the inheritance tax is 4.5%. If I pass away and I leave everything to my siblings, it's 12%. And if I leave anything to basically other distant relatives and or friends, neighbors, it's 15%. Charities are zero. So the state laws apply for the state of residency and certain assets that may be tied to Pennsylvania. So let's pretend I live in New Jersey, but I own real estate in Pennsylvania. Well, if I'm a New Jersey resident, but I own real estate in Pennsylvania, then I would have some inheritance tax that would apply on the assets that are sitused here. So that could be real estate. It could be a business. Now, if I live in New Jersey and I have a brokerage account with my favorite financial advisor in Pennsylvania, that is not deemed situs here. That's just an investment account. We're looking for real hard assets like a business or real estate. All right. So parents, what you had asked was parents live in Nazareth. The children, I assume you and your siblings, live out of Pennsylvania. When the parents pass away, which state laws apply? It would be the Pennsylvania inheritance tax rules and or whatever state they may have other property in, such as real estate in another state. All right, Jeff, I hope I answered that question, but it's a good question. It's one we often get. People will often think that they have to pay inheritance tax if they get something from their aunt in Pennsylvania or in Michigan or something, and it's not necessarily the case. It depends on what's going on. All right. So thank you for those questions. Folks, we're talking about prior shows, some topics that I just think sometimes are worthwhile. And this obviously is one that really I think can be complicated and people just don't understand enough. And at the end of every show, you know, I always say be proactive, not reactive. And this is one of the most reactive areas I see for people. It's estate planning, you know, while you're live and then after you're gone and your beneficiaries, it's reactive. And that's where we can't always make the best decisions. So if you can kind of get a little bit educated on this and informed, share it with your parents, share it with your siblings, your aunts, your uncles, whoever it might be that would be affected by some of these things. It's all worthwhile and good discussions to help, you know, I say to kind of preserve this wealth that someone has accumulated, to have that ongoing legacy. Why do we accumulate assets? Of course, we accumulate them for our retirement, but we also hope that if we don't use them, they're going to pass on to either some nonprofit charity that we love or some family member that we love. So don't we want to try to make the best decisions that we can when we can? So May 3rd, 2017, in that vein, I talked about estate planning and health care decisions with attorney Jim Ruggiero, and we covered what documents you might need. Again, today, so many people try to, I think, avoid having documents. I think they think it's going to cost a lot of money and they're going to save money by putting beneficiary designations on their accounts or joint titling or transfer on death, but they don't realize how often assets kind of pass out those mechanisms. You might be surprised. There could be an account that you forgot about. There could be personal property you forgot about, a collection that's worth a lot of money, a bank account that you forgot to put in joint names when you were trying to strategize how to avoid having a document. That's why it's important to have documents regardless, because you want to make sure you catch it in whatever way. So we talked with Jim on that show, May 3rd, 2017, about a will, power of attorney, health care, and living will. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, love them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 71 on your Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 84. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 65. Friday, sunny with the high near 89. Friday night, low around 66. Saturday, sunny with a high near 92. And Saturday night is going to be mostly clear with a low around 71. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. So in the first half of the show, we talked about a couple of the very hot topics, I believe, financial implications of being a beneficiary and estate planning and healthcare decisions. Those shows are available online at wdiy.org under local public affairs, under your financial choices, and then scrolling through to those dates to find the program or reading the program to the program descriptions, you can learn a little bit more detail on either of those topics. July 12, 2017, and more recently on January 17, 2018, I discussed Roth IRAs. What is a Roth? What are the mechanics as to the eligibility and funding, including Roth 401ks, backdoor Roths, conversions to Roth IRAs, after-tax 401k monies that can be converted to Roth IRAs. You know, I could do several shows on Roth IRAs. So to whet your appetite, those would be shows worthwhile listening to if you are not familiar with Roth IRAs. If you are someone who works and you have savings or you want to have savings for retirement, this is a great vehicle, the Roth IRA. But there are restrictions and rules around them, and those rules have changed quite a bit over my tenure of being in the financial planning industry, where in the past you couldn't do a conversion unless your income was less than $100,000. They did away with that years ago, and some people still think they can't do Roth conversions because their income is too high. They took away that limitation. People can fund Roth IRAs even if you're working and have an employer plan if your income is below certain thresholds. And in 2017, for example, if you were married filing joint and your page one income was under $186,000, if you had extra money to put away and to save, you could have funded a Roth IRA, $5,500 each if you're married, and there's that much in earned income, and an extra $1,000 if you're 50 or older. So a couple who is making under $186,000, who has plenty of emergency reserves, has extra money in savings, a Roth IRA could be funded with the amounts I mentioned. What happens then, you have the Roth IRA, invest it. Hopefully it will grow over time. You don't need it for a long time. Those growth and earnings will be income tax free at such time you take out a qualified distribution. But in the meantime, if you needed money, if you had an emergency, if something happened, you can always take out your original contribution. This is why I love Roth IRAs. It's a great way to get in the habit of saving. It's especially a great vehicle for young people when they're just starting out. It encourages savings. It encourages them to start investing and kind of get familiar with it and comfortable with it. When you think about the time horizon that young people newly in their careers are where they are in their careers, it's just a great way to save. But there's so many different ways to get Roth IRAs. So I'm going to call one like the traditional method. One is the 401k method. One is you could inherit a Roth IRA. One is you could convert to a Roth IRA. For people who maybe have been working at a company for a really, really long time, and pre-1986 you were putting in after-tax contributions into your 401k, or for those people who maybe work for a current employer where you've already maxed your regular pre-tax 401k amounts and your employer allows you to put in after-tax monies and it's a way for you to save. If you have after-tax money in your 401k before you roll it over anywhere, look to see if you have any. after-tax monies, you can roll those over into a Roth IRA. So rather than take out the after-tax amounts and put it in your bank account, you could roll it into a Roth IRA, and then you've got it the potential for that to grow and grow income tax-free. If you need the money, again, you could, you know, take it out in a qualified distribution. So lots of information on Roth IRAs, and that's a good opportunity for a lot of people. Let me also say, as I'm talking about all of this and kind of explaining all of these different topics, I want to remind people that each person's situation is different. There are lots of nuances to all of the things I talk about regularly each week on the show. It's more about awareness. And for information specific to your own situation, you need to talk with, you know, your financial advisor or your attorney or your CPA to make sure what is actually applying to your situation. This is awareness, education, and there are sometimes so many nuances that could apply to each person. Please understand that this is general education. So when I get all excited about Roth IRAs and you go set one up and you say, Lori said to, well, we want to make sure that you actually are eligible to do such a thing and that it makes sense for your financial situation. On August 2nd, 2017, I did a show on financial terms, and I just thought this was a good one if you don't understand what your advisor or your attorney are talking about when discussing your financial situation. And on that show, I discussed account titling, estate document terms, financial designations, retirement account terms, such as, you know, SPD. If someone says, oh, do you have the SPD? Well, that's your summary plan document or your summary plan description for your 401k or your 403b or your defined contribution plan. So lots of different terms that are thrown around that people will sometimes assume you know and you may not know. And then you miss maybe an important piece of information that advisor might be telling you because you're thinking, what did that mean? What did that mean? What did that mean? And you might have missed the part where they said doesn't apply to you or does apply to you. So it's important to get somewhat comfortable with some of the terms that are used when you're talking about financial decisions in your own life. For example, asset titling. There is a big difference between tenants in common and joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Very different implications. Sometimes you'll hear POD, TOD. Well, if you don't know what it means, number one, you should ask. But POD is payable on death. TOD is transfer on death. It depends on what the asset might be that you're hoping to pass on to a beneficiary. As to which titling you might use. Financial designations, CPA, CFP, AEP, they all mean different things. What do they mean? Is it important to you? Is it important for you to work with advisors with particular designations? Retirement account terms, after-tax, pre-tax, employer match, catch-up contribution. So we talk about some of those things on that show, and that was August 2nd, 2017. September 20th, 2017, when we talk about financial designations, a big word that had been thrown around for the past year was fiduciary. Is someone going to be your fiduciary? Oh, they're getting rid of the fiduciary role. Well, when they talked about the fiduciary role and now that they've, you know, squashed it, that was actually related to the Department of Labor that was trying to apply a fiduciary rule to advisors over individual retirement accounts, IRAs. And it was a little complicated because a fiduciary is someone who acts in your best interest. And there's a certain level of, I would say, engagement in that. Traditional advisors might not really have been advisors, but more brokers, and they didn't have to act in your best interest. They just had to make sure that an investment was suitable for you. Now, I could probably argue that there could be a case where you might not need a fiduciary role in certain circumstances and the suitability might just be fine. It all depends on what kind of accounts they are. But if they've taken that away, it doesn't mean the word fiduciary is no longer applying to a broad swath of people. For example, certified financial professionals have a fiduciary, certified financial planners, which is what I am, and I could hardly say it, but certified financial planners have a fiduciary responsibility by virtue of their designation and their commitment to the certified financial planner board's code of ethics and standards and rules. But there are a lot of other fiduciary roles that people have. And what I wanted to stress during that show is that how often are you yourself possibly stepping into a fiduciary role that you don't even realize? You end up being a fiduciary if you are on a board. If you're a board member, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders. If you're an executor, if you're a trustee, you have a fiduciary role to your legatees or your beneficiaries. If you are a guardian, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the children that you are the guardian of. Lawyers have a fiduciary responsibility to their clients. Certified financial planners have a fiduciary responsibility to their clients. But if you don't understand that you yourself could be a fiduciary, then you may be stepping into a role that you may not have expected to take on that role. So you want to make sure that you understand it. So I talked about what it means to be a fiduciary on that show. September 27th, 2017, we talked about important milestones at certain ages. And I think that's always good to know, to kind of have it the top of your head, because things change. For example, when you turn 50, that's an important age for someone who's working and putting money into a retirement account, because now you can put more money into your retirement account because there's something called a catch-up contribution that once you turn age 50, you can put an extra $6,000 into your 401k or your 403b. And if you don't have those and you're working and you have an individual retirement account, you can put an extra $1,000 into them. So that happens at age 50, and a lot of people will miss this. They will have through work maybe a payroll deduction for their 401k. Maybe they set it up to max it out every year, $18,000 in 2017, now $18,500 in 2018. They figure out the exact percentage to put in that exact amount. They forget that now they might be able to do the catch-up, and you have to adjust it. Some employers have a separate election for the catch-up contribution, so you also need to inquire as to that. Just changing the percent might not do it. You might actually have to make a separate election for the catch-up contribution. So at age 50, that's what happens. Between age 56 and 59 and a half, if you left your employer and you terminated employment at and you were age 55, when at the end of the year when you terminated employment, you can tap your 401k without incurring a 10% penalty on an early withdrawal. That's important for people who end up being terminated, let go, laid off at age 55, and all of a sudden they didn't get another job. They thought they were going to get one, and maybe they need to tap money from their retirement account. Well, you still would have the income tax, but you can avoid the 10% penalty if you kept it in the employer plan. If you roll it over to an IRA, that is not an exception to the 10% penalty if you're from an IRA. So very important ages. At 59 and a half, you can take money out of your 401k or your IRA without a 10% penalty. You're past that early withdrawal penalty. So 59 and a half is a great age. You have to be 59 and a half. It's not the year you turn 59 and a half. You actually have to be 59 and a half. Age 60, there's a widow's benefit under Social Security. 62, there's an early, you can take early Social Security at 62. Lots of other ages I'll go over quickly when we get back from this last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and we're in the last quarter of the show. We are talking about topics from prior shows. If you have questions, of course, you can talk off air or talk on air, or if you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. The phone number is 610-758-8810. So what other topics here? Oh, the age. Lots of important ages. So that show, what was that show? That was September 27th, 2017. Again, that's available at WDIY.org under Local Public Affairs, Your Financial Choices, or through YourFinancialChoices.com. We also have the shows there. Lots of important ages. I mentioned 50 and then 55 through 59 and a half, 59 and a half, 60, age 62. At 65 to through 67, it could be full retirement age for a lot of people under Social Security. That would be important. But also at age 65, you get an extra amount for your standard deduction. And at age 70 and a half, of course, we have the required minimum distributions for people. And again, 70 and a half, you have to take it and they give you a little wiggle room. They give you till April 1st of the year following the year you turn age 70 and a half. So there's some kind of planning that you can do around that. But understanding those milestones and what planning might be available to you around those is very important. So some information on that on those shows. October 25th, 2017, we had four hot topics in domestic law with attorney Alan Tuller of Gross McGinley. I thought this was important because this is something I think that we don't talk enough about that could really impact a lot of people these days. And it was Act 102. There was a change in Pennsylvania law reducing the separation period in Pennsylvania from 2 years to 1 year, which means you better get your giddy up and go and get that taken care of and, you know, work through things with each other. Because it's an accelerated process, I believe. And I don't know all the dates or anything around that, but if you listen to the show, I'm sure we might have probably covered that as to when that was going to come into effect. And again, that was October 25th, 2017. We also discussed the pros and cons of mediation versus litigation. I think that's important. We talked about pet custody. What is Pennsylvania law with pet custody? Well, you know, pets are treated like personal property. So if you love your pet and something happens to you, what do you want to do about that? And then also custody relocation. What constitutes relocation and how is it applied when we're talking about our children and whether, you know, you need to move out of state or something? Shandi, we have a caller on line one. We have Teresa from Topton. Teresa, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, how can I help you?
Okay, now I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Turn my radio up.
Okay, how can I help you?
All right, so I am 61, and my employer does absolutely nothing to help me save for my retirement. And I haven't really saved all that much so far. And my financial advisor says the most I can put away now is $6,500. Is that the truth, or is there anything else I can do?
Okay. The $6,500 that your financial advisor is talking about is probably for the IRA or the Roth IRA, one or the other that you can do. But you can always save outside of those retirement accounts as well. It's just not going to lower your income tax. If you're trying to put away to save income tax or save for your retirement, there would be a number of avenues. So if at your work you do not have an employer retirement account, that's what you're telling me. There's no 401k.
That is right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can do either an IRA or a Roth IRA. The traditional IRA would give you an income tax deduction today. And then when you eventually take it out in your retirement, it would be subject to income tax. Sometimes that's all right, because sometimes when we're working, we're in a higher tax bracket. You want the tax deduction. And when you take it out when you retire, you're in a lower tax bracket. So sometimes that traditional IRA with the deduction is great. If you're already in a low tax bracket, then maybe the Roth IRA would be a way to go. And then when you retire, you take the money out, there's no income tax on the Roth IRA. So those are just the retirement account ways for you to save. But you could also save just in a regular brokerage account where you're investing, and then over time that grows. And when you eventually take the money out, you might have investments that have had qualified dividends, which save you income tax. If you have to tap money from that investment account in your retirement years, some of it will come out, like if you sell something, some will come out will in principle, and some will be investment gain, hopefully. And then there's favorable tax rates on long-term gains. So there are a number of ways for you to still save. It just isn't going to save you income tax today necessarily, the way a 401k would let us defer for you $24,500. Now, if you did any self-employment, if you had a business on the side, you could set up your own 401k and put money away in that, or get a second job or a different job if you want to have more opportunities to put money away. But you can still
say, you have a side job.
You have a side job? Is it
a little business of my own?
A little business of your own. Well, if you make a profit, which is what you generally want to do when you have a side business, if you make a profit, you can set up what's called a solo 401k. And with the solo 401k, if you're not putting money away in an employer plan because there isn't one, you can probably shelter almost all the income. If, let's pretend, and don't give me any numbers, but let's pretend your income was $24,500. You can shelter a huge chunk of that money. You can do the employee piece, the catch-up contribution, profit sharing if the income is a lot. So you could start generating more income. Work on that a little bit more, and you can shelter quite a bit. Solo 401k. You want to set it up before year end as well.
Wonderful.
Okay.
That's excellent news.
All right. Great. I'm glad I could help, Teresa. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We had Nancy from Allentown. She called. She said the Community Foundation show in December, most valuable show, will help her personally with her estate planning. You know, Nancy, I should have written that one down. I had the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation come on. Erica Riddle Petrozelli was on, and I love the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. So thank you for mentioning that. That's in December. But again, folks, any of these topics, there's so much to cover. That's sometimes I talk way too fast because I'm trying to fit it all in, and there's just so much to say. But it's wonderful that we have this resource, either of the websites, WDIY or Your Financial Choices, where these shows are housed, and you can listen to those podcasts at any time. But especially, I don't know if I did a show on charitable giving, but I did write a big article on charitable giving, that even with tax reform, so many people are worried, charities and nonprofits are worried that funding might go down, but there are still so many ways to save income tax and still do charitable giving where we can save income tax, even if we're not getting that itemized deduction the way we have in the past. Lots of ways to plan. And I don't know if we were talking about it at that time, but I also wrote an article on that. And I believe that's on our website at valleynationalgroup.com, an article on charitable giving, lots of ways to still save, even if you don't itemize anymore. So, Nancy, thank you for calling and mentioning that. So that was December of 2017. November 29th, 2017, Managing Debt and Your Options. That is That's a big one for a lot of people. So I'll just say that. That's November 29, 2017, managing debt and your options and why it's so important to manage debt. March 14, 2018 was the one I did on health savings accounts. And this is where I really believe we're going to see more and more health savings accounts as employers reduce the options available and the cost of health care premiums go up. This is how people will try to manage the cost of health care by maybe going into those higher deductible plans because it will lower the premiums. But this is a big thing. The health savings account is a way to save on income tax. In fact, if Teresa is still listening, if you're self-employed, not sure what happens with your health insurance, if it's through a group plan, then you can ignore this. But if it's through, if you're self-insuring, you have your individual policy and you're self-employed, then there is a self-employed health insurance deduction that you can take on page one of your return. For people who have health savings accounts, because you have a high deductible health plan, then you get the contributions to the health savings accounts are not taxable. It's either through payroll deduction, through your payroll or through your employer. And if your employer is putting in, there's caps on this as well. But if you're putting money in outside of the payroll deduction, you're funding a health savings account outside of payroll up to the max that you can do, that is a deduction on your tax return. So health savings accounts, if you haven't had one in the past, if you think you might get one, if someone you know has one, we did a show on that on March 14, 2018. We're going to see more and more of those. I would say 3 years ago, I probably had one or two clients that had health savings accounts. Now I'm seeing lots more health savings accounts, a way to save on money you're putting aside for your health expenses. But broadly, my favorite shows also include the tax shows we do every tax season, but also listeners' questions. Listeners' questions are some of my favorite shows because I learn from the listeners, and I hope they learn from me. And listeners learn from each other because you all have great questions. And if it applies to you, chances are it could apply to someone else, one of our other listeners. So that's great. Listeners' questions, and anytime I get to talk about estate planning and income tax, those are usually favorite shows as well, because I just think that there's so many opportunities and so many ways that people misunderstand all of that as well. Let me mention again, Lehigh Valley SCORE, of course, has programs coming up. And you can find more information on those programs at lehighvalley.score.org. Lehigh Valley SCORE is that nonprofit organization helping small businesses in our community, and they provide frequent seminars. June 29th, they have a fraud seminar, and coming up on July 10th, they have one on tax and legal issues for your small business. So check out their website at lehighvalley.score.org if you're interested in learning more about those. Next week is July 4th, so we're going to have a pre-recorded show for that. And then on July 11th, I will be joined by Tim Roof, CFP, and Connor Darrell for some mid-year market commentary. So it'll be great to have them in the studio. The last time Connor and Tim were on, it's very, very informative. So I think it'll be especially important in these recent volatile markets to get a little bit of observations on what's been going on. And so we will talk with them and get some market commentary. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. I want you to remember to pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. And I also want to thank all of our listeners tonight who called in. I really appreciate it. We had great calls tonight, and I love when people call in. I want to thank Shandi for being here. Of course, Lori, thanks for manning those calls tonight because we had quite a few. Really appreciate it. And as always, if you have questions and you didn't have a chance to get through or get your question answered, you can send questions to me through yourfinancialchoices.com and listen to any podcasts from those prior shows through WDIY.org, local programming, your financial choices, and scroll through the descriptions and or dates to get more information on what shows there are, or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Folks, have a great evening and a great week. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Bye-bye.